I'm chatting today with Professor Nick Talley, who is Chair of the Council of Presidents of Medical Colleges. Thanks, Nick, for your time.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Last November, you chaired a National Obesity Summit. Tell me how that went and what recommendations you came up with for the government.
Well, it was a very interesting summit, actually. We brought together experts, clinicians, researchers, food industry representatives, people from town planning, and other experts to talk about sort of this really serious problem for the health of Australians, that is obesity, and what we can do about this. And I think it's fair to say, even amongst those who know a lot about this subject, there's been this sort of sense of, well, there's not a lot we can really do, and it's just too difficult a problem. And the idea of this summit was to look at ways we may be able to tackle what is a very difficult problem. Some people might even call it a wicked problem. Yep. And what we could do perhaps to make a difference. And we came up with some recommendations, and the idea was, frankly, to prod government, to yep. prod our colleagues, and to prod the community to all work together for a unified plan and actually have a strategy rather than just letting it to chance largely in terms of benefits. So we came up with a six-point plan.
Yep.
There's some elements that will be quite controversial, we believed. But on the other hand, we felt we should highlight areas where there was evidence or indeed we felt there was sufficient information to at least recommend we try some different approaches. And the goal here, a bit like the smoking campaigns and yep. smoking initiatives of the past, was to try and make a difference now, not wait until we have even more evidence that there's a problem and until perhaps it's even too late for some people. So that was the goal.
Yep. Where does the controversy lie?
Well, the controversy lies in regulation issues. So the moment you talk about regulation and legislation is the moment you get into controversy, because clearly you're going to butt heads with industry and other groups who will be concerned. But in terms of regulation, it was suggested that, for example, a sugar tax would add value, yes. But not by itself. It's no good just having a sugar tax. That's going to do a little bit. You need a concerted strategy plan, multi-focused approaches to make a difference. But there is evidence, however, that a sugar tax would actually reduce consumption of high sugar beverages. And indeed, you could tax even elsewhere. But so let's talk about beverages. And that alone would actually impact significantly, although by itself, we felt certainly would not be anywhere near sufficient. But we thought that was important. Yeah. And then, of course, we wanted to have food reformulation and food ratings, supporting food ratings, strong food ratings. And this moves there, as we know, but even further reformulation of foods could make a very significant impact. And we felt that could be voluntary, but perhaps will need some regulation.
What was the food industry reaction to all this?
Well, the food industry was very happy to suggest everyone should eat a healthy diet and exercise more, but, oh, we shouldn't do anything else. You know, I it was very interesting. But they were there in the room, and we thought it was important to have broad viewpoints here. We felt it was important to engage, you know, stakeholders. And, in fact, one of our goals really here was to set up a national task force which would include the key stakeholders as part of the approach for establishing, you know, a national plan. You need a task force to oversee the plan, a task force to identify the initiatives. And we're very much hoping the government will listen to this idea, although clearly, you know, there are some political and other issues I'll have to deal with. So that was probably one of the most controversial parts. But there are some other ones.
Was the government in the room?
The government, we had Department of Health in the room. We did not have the government in the room, no, but we did have the department.
So that was 4 months ago. Has there been any response from the government since?
Well, we've written to the Prime Minister, and the Prime Minister's written back to us. And we actually met with the Prime Minister prior to the summit to let him know what we were doing. And the Health Minister, of course, was yep. also made fully aware as she opened the conference. But the Prime Minister clearly expressed an interest, thanked us for what we've been doing, and did point out the government has been supporting, you know, some initiatives in this area. But of course, you know, the counter view remains, well, but we need a national commitment to really a big strategy here, just like we had for smoking. And at the moment, we haven't got there yet, but we continue to hope we'll land there at some point. And it's very nice to see the health profession get together with others, of course,
yes,
argue this case, argue that this is really in the national interest, it's about community health, and also argue they should lead by example. They should drive in their organisations better healthy food choices, drive, lead by example. And, you know, while we have to wait and see whether that translates again into those organisations in the near future with change, certainly at the time there was that commitment. And I'm very hopeful that that will be one piece of this that will certainly be able to be done. And I think it just shows you that, you know, assuming that were to occur, it shows you what can be done by those who are not necessarily in government in terms of making a difference.
Is it possible that this could get done without government?
There are certainly some aspects that can be done without government. I mean, certainly the summit recommended we label obesity a chronic disease, and, mm-hmm. and I think that helps in terms of thinking about this, and that change may permeate into the right places. The education and upskilling by the health profession so that, you know, doctors and other health professionals can provide better care for people, better prevention and better treatment options for people with obesity, I think is something that doesn't need government, although it would help if government stimulated this, but it doesn't need it. And then the idea of preconception planning is something that could certainly be started without government support, although we probably need a nationally funded strategy to make a real difference in terms of a preconception planning approach. I think that's one of the most novel aspects of this, arguing we start early, and we mean really early,
yes.
with people, and that includes their family, not just the baby or the embryo even. It's the family as well, and that's the idea. And like all chronic problems, you know, prevention is always much more successful than any other approach if you can do it.
So what's the next step, assuming the government seems to be a little preoccupied with other things right now?
Well, governments are always preoccupied with many pressures, and there are many other national priorities, and we understand. But, you know, for example, one of the priorities is diabetes, national priorities.
Yep.
And that, of course, is very strongly linked to obesity. So we think, as a professional, you know, group, this should be linked, and a strategy should be rolled out really linking together diabetes and obesity. We'll continue to talk to government, and I'll be meeting with the health minister to talk about this in the near future. And of course, CPMC will continue to strongly drive for change in the system that will provide a benefit to the community. And this is all about best interests of the community here and no one else.
What specifically can the colleges do?
Well, I think the colleges can train people better, yeah, in terms of prevention and management issues, because this hasn't been something that's necessarily been front of mind in all of the colleges, and yet it affects most professional areas, actually,
yeah,
in terms of,
yeah,
potential problems. So that's one approach, training people, giving, you know, providing toolboxes for clinicians that are much better than we currently provide them with. And that's something that came out very strongly in the summit. I think the other piece was ensuring that people do get access to appropriate care where they need it. And that's one of the more tricky issues. I mean, not, you know, only a very small minority of people, you know, would benefit from bariatric surgery, but those who would deserve that option. And of course, there's very limited beds in the public system for such,
exactly,
for such,
yeah,
such procedures. So that needs to be looked at carefully. And there may be ways, you know, again, the health professions, the medical profession, but others too, can influence local decision making to further support this. And this is for people who really need it. This is obviously a very small number, but still there are people not getting this now who would benefit, and it's our best option for them. So that's important.
What's the message then for primary care physicians?
Again, it's primary care physicians play such an important role as the gatekeepers and such an important role in identifying problems early and dealing with it. And particularly when they're managing families and children who, you know, may already be on a pathway, you know, because when you measure their height and weight, you can certainly tell on a pathway that is at risk. That's where they play such an important role, to counsel, educate, help families deal with this, provide advice. I think that can make a huge difference. And again, if nothing else, if we convince colleagues around the country to think more about this every day, they're seeing patients in their rooms or elsewhere, that will make a difference that's positive.
Thanks, Nick, for your time.
Kate, thank you so much.